Your heart reflects your emotions. It's because your heart is full of all kinds of emotions. It's full of all kinds of things. And this lesson tonight is simply about that. What is filling your heart? What is inside of it? What are you putting inside of it? This lesson's called The Heart Matters. Over the course of this lesson, I'm just going to share with you four heart matters. That is, four truths about your heart. And I want you to pay close attention to them. Why? Because the heart matters. Because it's very important. And the things that we're going to talk about in this lesson will affect your everyday life and will affect your eternal life also. Your heart matters. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. The first of our heart matters. Heart matter number one. The heart is the seat of man's divine attributes. If you want to know what I mean by that, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, we have God in many awesome scenes moving over the water, and He's creating life. He creates everything from the light and darkness to celestial bodies to the ground that we walk on to the birds and the beasts that inhabit it. And then He creates man. Read with me in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Where we need to start this lesson is that God created us in His own image. Our hearts are supposed to look like His hearts. We, by the fact that we have been made in God's own image, have the opportunity, the ability, to look like God. And God is not defined by His physical descriptions. He's not 5'7", 160 pounds. However tall you are, however much you weigh, it doesn't matter. That's not what it means to be created in the image of God. What it means to be created in the image of God is that you have the ability to act as God acts. To be as God is. And so God, because of that, because He has given that ability and planted that in your heart, your heart can look like His. Man's heart is the seat of the divine attributes that are given by God. That's why. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, God said to the Israelites, "Be holy, for I am holy." In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, God told us to love because He loved. Man can forgive just as he has been forgiven, says Colossians 3:13. And in the previous verse, in chapter 3, verse 12, it talks about the fact that God or man can have compassion. Man can have patience. Man can have mercy. And why? Because God showed us these things. Because God is these things. God wants your heart. He wants your heart to look like this. However, to summarize this point, it is that God has a desire for you. He created you in His image because He wants your heart. But He's not the only one. Not only is the heart able to be made in God's image, but the heart, in heart matter number two, is the battleground against warring temptations. What I want to show you in this section is that God is not the only one targeting your heart. He's not the only one after it. But that Satan is also. Satan has targeted the heart of man to harden it and to take it away from the Lord. This is why the Proverbs speak about the heart of the foolish man, that it is filled with foolishness, with lack of wisdom, without a desire for God. This is also why the Hebrew writer beckons the readers not to harden their hearts as those who did in the wilderness. Their hearts, which had been hardened. And why Ananias and Sapphira, when Ananias is first indicted in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, he's asked, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Our hearts are under attack, and Satan has targeted them. He has targeted them with lust, anger, disparity, envy, strife, malice. Every other sin that we can commit begins in our hearts. Begins because Satan has attacked our hearts with it, and as he has filled our hearts with those temptations, he's setting us up to fall. He doesn't want to protect our hearts. He wants to kill it. He didn't create us with rib cages. He designed the bullet. And he wants nothing more than for your heart to perish. Why I've told you these first two points, that God has a desire for your heart, and that Satan has a desire for your heart too, is to lead you into this third point. And this third point is what I'm going to talk to you most about. Heart matter number three. The heart is affected by prolonged exposure. We have a decision to make. We have a decision to be, for our hearts to be conformed to the image of the one who created us. Or to give in. To harden our hearts and to have our hearts separated from God forever. That's our choice. And that is a pretty big choice to have. Now in this section, we're going to talk about the things which impact that decision. The things which sway our hearts one way or the other. Namely, the things that Satan has desired to fill our hearts with. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is approached by the Pharisees who indict his disciples for not washing their hands before they eat. How he answers is very important to our lesson. Read with me. Verses 17 through 19. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. As we're going to talk about influences, the things that are filling our hearts, Jesus in this passage is not so much concerned with table etiquette as he is with, and the things that are filling our stomachs in that matter. But the things that are filling our hearts. It says, out of the heart comes these sins. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. They come out of the heart, but how in the world do they get there? How in the world do they get there? We're not born knowing evil thoughts. I've never known a baby with a desire to murder. I've never known an infant to commit adulteries. or fornication, or commit false witness or slander or anything else. So if we're not born with it, how in the world do they get there? The heart is affected by prolonged exposure. So what are we exposing ourselves to? How are we being exposed to these things? How do we learn what adultery is? How do we learn to take God's name in vain? How do we learn to lie? Our heart is affected by prolonged exposure. The longer we spend around it, the more we see it, the more we hear it, the more our hearts digest these very evil things. That's how they get there. So let's get a little more specific. Let me talk to you about music. If you love music nearly as much as I do, music is constantly playing. And so this is something I've had to really ask myself and really had to check myself on too. What music are we listening to? What messages are coming into our hearts because we're listening to them? Without any limitation to genre, for any mainstream music over the course of at least my lifetime, and I'm sure anyone who's older than I am can attest that it has been going on a little longer than that, that music contains negative themes contrary to the example of Christ. These are some that I've found. Music can celebrate material wealth. It's written by celebrities who are made rich off the music that they write. And so that's what they know, is the material things in this life. And because they're writing those things, it celebrates the things that they have. And it has taught our culture to desire those things, to desire material wealth, to desire that same fame, that same popularity as our musicians. But it's not just that. Music also contains celebrated substance abuse. I grew up listening to country. I know I made that very clear in the first couple times I ever spoke to this congregation, because I'd begin it with one country song or another, with lyrics, with some reference. But you know what I hear in country music all the time? People depressed. People who lost their dog, their truck, their first, their second, their third wives. And they drink about it. And then when I grew up a little bit, I was about 11 or 12, I got into a new genre of music, which my mom took my first CD back. I bought a CD, and my mom took it away from me. I had no idea what was on it, but I found myself singing along. I just had no idea what it meant. But people who were talking about their use of hard narcotics, use of alcohol, and everything else. Now, if you talk to me now, it's not much of a temptation, but I started to grow numb to it. Not only does it celebrate material wealth and substance abuse, it's painted sexuality in a casual light. Very frequently. I'm having to check the music that I even listen to now. That sex, that God-given gift, is not made light of, is not profaned, is not made to the terrible, degrading, meaningless act that our culture sees it as. That's in our music. It has shouted profanities and used God's name as if it had no significance at all. Now, as we're hearing these things, hypothetically, we can dismiss them as just words. We like the music better anyway. The beats, the rhythms, the instruments, the melodies. We like that better anyway. But if you're like me, and you love music, you find yourself singing along, singing those very same themes, speaking those exact same words. If nothing else, what you're doing at that point is you are becoming desensitized to those negative, Christ-contrary themes that are in our music today. What are we exposing our hearts to? Because the heart is affected by prolonged exposure. But music isn't the only area that I want to talk to you about. The next logical and most frequent area of entertainment is movies. It's one thing to be exposed to themes contrary to the doctrine of Christ as it is heard. That's bad enough. How much worse is it to watch it? Even in films that teenagers, age 13 and up, are allowed admittance unaccompanied, are using the Lord's name in vain. We're made to listen to language that we ought never utter. We are made to watch depictions of actions that no Christian should ever participate in. We're made to laugh at homosexuality. We are made to grow numb to murder. We are taught to be insubordinate. What are we exposing our hearts to? I had to catch myself the other day as there was a show that's commonly watched. I won't name it, but it's a show where characters kind of come and go, and oftentimes they'll die to leave the show. And I was relieved when one of the characters died and I didn't have to see that character anymore. And then I caught myself. What in the world am I exposing my heart to that I could appreciate murder? Now, it was just a character, and I know it wasn't real. But separating that line between reality and fiction grows increasingly blurred as our hearts are continued to be exposed to it. An area that is much similar to movies, but deserves its own category. Because sadly, it is an area that has grown so prevalent in our culture. It's pornography. It's hard to even find the words to continue to talk about it. But statistically, on a low and conservative rate, there are 20 people in this room that are currently struggling with it. And do you know what you're being exposed to at that point? Do you know what you're filling your heart with? We see sexuality, and lust fills our eyes. Sex is given a flippant definition. Not only is the God-given blessing of sex degraded, but also those who participate in it are made to be seen as subhuman vessels for our aesthetic pleasure. It is also statistically shown that those who watch these things have little regard for the people in it. Do you know that is God's creation being defiled? That's what you're watching? And I hope that conservative statistic that 20 people in this room are not struggling with it. But it's almost a relative certainty that there are. Because outside of that 20, the rest of this nation, it's closer to 70 to 80%. It has grossly overwhelmed our nation. What are you filling your heart with? What are we exposing our hearts to? The heart is affected by prolonged exposure. And you may think we're taking a step back to talk about news and media, but I think that is just as deadly. I think I got a Facebook request for a group or something from someone in this church that wanted to boycott a news station because it has selected a particular theme and it is dissecting it into the ground. And it is a terrible situation. But that's what the news likes. That's what broadcasting companies appreciate. It sells. I don't know the last time, I don't watch the news much, but I don't remember the last time I sat down to watch the news for any length of time and I didn't see someone die. I didn't see someone get robbed. Maybe if you watch the Weather Channel. And then even then you can get depressed. But we have some beautiful weather today. It's something to be happy about. Your conscience may still be twinged every time you see a heinous crime. But then the next segment begins, and you grow one step closer to becoming numb to it. What are we exposing our hearts to? The heart is affected by prolonged exposure. And possibly the most deadly, the greatest influence on our lives, are the people in it. The people that we spend quality time with. The people whose hearts are so close, you can finish each other's sentences. That you're there for one another. That you appreciate and empathize for one another. That's why this can be the deadliest. When those people in your life are committing the same immoralities that we've seen in these other areas that are impacting our hearts. Because at that point, what do you want to do? You don't want to be judgmental. You don't want to forsake that friend. And so even more than just watching the news, you become desensitized to it. Because you start to justify it. You don't want to see that person go down in flames, but you also don't want to leave that person either. And so you stick around. And the immoralities that fill their lives are the immoralities that are influencing ours. The heart is affected by prolonged exposure. We've talked about the fact that God wants our hearts. We've talked about the fact that Satan wants it. And we've talked about what influences that decision and what things are influencing our lives. But that isn't where this lesson ends. Because sadly, we have all suffered from prolonged exposure. And have even succumbed to it. One verse that I skipped. One verse that I skipped is from the book of Proverbs, which says, "Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned?" As we have all of these things influencing and weighing on our hearts, can your heart accept it and be around it and not be affected by it? Can our hearts come out unscathed? No. If there's fire in our bosom and it's staying there, the proverb technically ends, our clothes are going to get burned. But there's no stop, drop, and roll for our hearts. Except to create a new one. For our heart to be cleansed. As we've been talking about, all of these impurities, all of these things which defile somebody, all of these iniquities that fill the hearts of men, they've left men's heart filthy and dirty. And we know that God cannot be around the things that are unclean. So here's heart matter number four. The heart is able to approach the Lord again. I should have put that on the PowerPoint slide. Again, the heart is able to approach the Lord after being cleansed. God wants to influence your heart too. And I think of those who listened to the first sermon ever given. Those in Acts 2, as Peter, the bold apostle, stood up and proclaimed the word of God. And he convicted those whose hearts had just been filled to murder the Messiah. And after he talked to them, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Sorry, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, where that first sermon was ever preached. Now when they heard this, verse 37 says, they were pierced to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Just note that point. They were pierced to the heart. God affected them. And it pierced the heart for the better. But continuing on, I think of those at Pentecost. I think of the hearts that believe unto righteousness in Romans chapter 10. When the mouth makes confession unto salvation. I think of the heart of David after he committed the sin with Bathsheba in Psalm 51. And he's appealing to the Lord because he wants to repent. He knows the sins that he's committed. And he speaks to God and he says, you don't want rivers of oil. You don't want hills upon hills of heads of cattle. What you want is a broken and contrite heart. That's what God's message does. Even that heart that has been affected by Satan can be broken for God. I also think of the passage in Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 29. It's not but a couple pages away in your Bible. And in Romans chapter 2, Paul is speaking to the Jews. The Jews who are convinced that circumcision is what made them the people of God. Read with me in Romans chapter 2, verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And he praises is not from men, but from God. The circumcision of the heart. You know what circumcision is? Technically it comes from the Latin word circa, around, from which we get circle. Incision, from what we get scissors or skizzers. It's to cut around. And I have completely missed this, but that's okay. I'm sure those of you who have children at home have seen this recently. And if not, you remember those days in elementary school. When around Valentine's Day, you'd get a red piece of paper. You'd fold it in half. And you'd just begin to cut around. Circumcision, if you will. And as you'd cut in this awkward shape, once you got done, you opened up that piece and found a heart that probably looks a whole lot prettier than that one. But this is kind of what God does to our hearts. He starts cutting, and everything else gets thrown away. Because he wants to create a new heart. He wants to cut away all of that lust. He wants to cut away all of that envy. He wants to cut away all of that immorality, the strife, the things that Satan has desired to fill our hearts with. He wants to create a new one. And he can do it. By the circumcision of the heart. It's an interesting theory, or it's an interesting illustration. But here's another one for you. And here's my final admonition to you this evening. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance." Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. The heart is able to approach the Lord after being cleansed. The fact of the matter is that no matter what has been influencing your life until now, you can wash it all away. All of the sin, all of the guilt, all of the reciprocity demanded on account for betraying God can be washed away. And when that happens, God can have our heart back. He created us in His image because He wants to spend eternity with us. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that He put eternity in man's hearts. Why? Because that's what He wants. Your heart, from now into eternity, to be His. This lesson has been about checking the things which are influencing and filling our hearts. And I pray you do that as we leave this assembly. Go through your movies. Go through your music. Go through the things that influence you on a regular basis. And ask, what is this attempting to fill my heart with? And when that happens, I pray you give your heart over to God. That you give it to Him instead. And for any whose heart is currently separated from God on account of sin, I pray you give your heart to God too. And you have the opportunity to do that. To have your heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and to have your body washed with pure water. And for anyone else who desires to return their heart to the Lord, has opportunity right now as we stand and we sing this song.